This morning, we're continuing on in our London Life series that Duncan started about last week. Today, we're going to call it Unity in Community Will Change the City. I'm going to read from Philippians 2, verses 1 to 8. If I knew how to do a PowerPoint, I'm sure you'd have one, but never mind. Still, it's good. You can be focused, or it's fine. Okay. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. I think we'll stop there. I like that. We'll come back to it. The series that we're talking about at the moment is about equipping and enabling us as believers to thrive and live in the pressures of the city, of London. But as Christians, we're not called to survive, but we're called to be salt and light. We're called to be ambassadors for Christ. And this morning, I just want us to look at these verses and some more that we'll be reading to see what is it that Paul is saying in Philippians. You see, I have to tell you, I like those first two verses, don't you? I mean, we could agree with those, couldn't we? It's exciting. Encouragement from being united with Christ. Amen. If any comfort from his love. Amen. If any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. Having the same love. Being one in spirit and purpose. Amen, yeah? That's good, isn't it? Woo! Ah, there's some more. Okay. Oh, and then he writes, but do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I really liked the first two. I really liked the first two. But to be honest with you, when I read this, I thought, you know, I mean, this is lovely. And I'm sure Paul meant really well. I mean, there were some unique situations to the Philippians. I'm sure there were some issues. But at the end of the day, I live in London. I mean, you know, it's about I am. I mean, what does it mean about, there's a sense of others before me and... I mean, you know, what do I do? Do I try building the Northern Line and just let people... No, no, after you. After you. Hello, darling, it's 8 o'clock at night. No, I'll be home later. It's fine. I'm just being humble. It's fine. It's okay. I mean, could you imagine trying to get your Christmas shopping? Trying to shop at Tesco's? It's okay. It's no problem. No, after you. After you. The frozen food will be defrosted, but I'll bet you go first. I mean, is that what Paul's talking about? Is Paul saying that as people, as citizens of London, we shall be walked over and trampled, putting others first and let ourselves be put down? I'm not sure. I don't think so. Or is it just an aspirational idea that in the 21st century is just unsustainable? I mean, the reality is that we live in a culture that says at the end of the day, it's survival of the fittest. I mean, we know it's a bit of a rat race out there. You know, the truth of it is that we can, of course, be very nice and say, listen, it's not about me, but I tell you what, I'm doing it for my family. It's my family that come first. That's why I'm working the long hours. That's why I'm having to move. That's why we had to get the bigger car. I mean, could you imagine squeezing him into that? I need the 4x4. Listen, at the end of the day, my money has to go into making my family work. You know, I'm a city dweller. It's lovely. You know, I remember, my mum has a cottage in Derbyshire. It's beautiful. And you open your door and everyone bustles by. Morning, 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 morning. I don't know, people like Claire come from York, is that right? And they probably speak to you in York. Do they speak to you in York? Yeah, they speak to you in York. How many people walk around London and go, hello, morning, hello, morning. You'd make it 3 minutes, you'd be in the back of a van and then arrested. They think you were a nutter. But in Derby, everyone knows everyone. You go across to the butcher's and he says to you, oh, hello, are you on holiday? Yes, yes. How do you know? Oh, my mum's got a cottage. My mum's got a house here. Oh, number 45, just across the way. How does he know this? How does he know my grandmother and my aunt live up the hill? Mind you, if you knew my aunt, you'd know her anyway. But anyway. But the reality is, if we were to walk into the cinema and probably walk up the steps and say hello, I don't think they'd say, goodness gracious me, I remember you. We don't know each other. We live in this sort of little bubble. And the truth of it is, we're quite happy there, aren't we? Let's be honest. Have you ever been in one of those bubbles that floats in the water and you sit and you can run around, you bounce in the water and you know, you're quite content, it's all quite nice, just get on with life. And I read this and I thought, you know, it's just impossible, isn't it? I mean, what does it mean? How can we do nothing out of selfish ambition, you know, or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves? Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. I don't understand it. I just don't get it. And I think Paul knew, you know what, I'm going to write this to them and they're not going to get it. So he then says, but there's a bit more, isn't there? Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. The context of these words are that your relationship with one another have the mindset of Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, and even death on a cross. Whew. So let me think about this. I think this is really difficult. But if Jesus, who was the Son of God before the beginning of time, who existed before anything else existed, could come down and take the role of a human being, not to rule and to master and to dominate, but to take on the nature of a servant. There's something in that, is there? There's something in that. You see, the heart of this is not talking about creating a rural little village like Wirksworth, where, to be honest with you, we all get to know each other because it's based on friendships and feelings and tradition and everyone knows everybody because it's a nice small little village. Nor is this saying, well, actually, you know, listen, to be fair, there are going to be people you get on with that you're going to know, and they're the people you need to help out. And, you know, let's be honest, we're not all selfish, are we? I mean, you know, Jackie, you drive the minibus. I mean, to be honest with you, Jerry, you've done some DIY for me. You're not selfish. I know I might bodge it up, but you're helpful. You know, I mean, let's be honest, we all do some good deeds. I mean, to be fair, does that not tick the box? And can we just move on? I'm not sure we can. It's difficult. You see, I think that the community and the fellowship that Jesus is talking about here is something about him being involved in it. What do you reckon? Yeah? You see, it says that our attitude be that of Christ Jesus. I think the community that we need is the one with Jesus at the very centre, and that you and I enjoy communion that comes from him. And out of that, that transforms the way that we are. Does it? Make a difference. Amen, Dave. Good one. The community that Jesus wants us to be part of, to be family, is not about whether it feels right or whether we think, oh, you know, I really get on well with them or I get on with them. There's something different that he's asking us. This is all about us being together. There's something about family in this. Do we get that? Family. That actually, because we have encouragement from being united in Christ, because we're of one spirit, because we know what it is for Jesus Christ who loves us and knows us by name, and because we had an example of Jesus who came to serve us and to be a servant and to show what it was that the King of Kings could wash someone's feet. That he says, hang on, what's your attitude like? That we should do nothing out of self and ambition or vain conceit. That we have to think differently in the way that we view one another. That he calls us as Christians to be united. You know, often we say we are all part of the body of Christ, and we say, yes, that's great. That's good, I like that. It sounds quite comfy, doesn't it? We're all part of the body of Christ, it's fine, you know. And that's really, really exciting. But actually, being part of the body without fellowship and relationship and doing anything about it is a bit like faith without works. It sounds really good, but what does it actually mean to be part of the body of Christ? Because if it's just a matter of us saying, we are a group of believers, I could say, we are part of the Saracen Supporters Club. We're a chess society. If there's nothing different, okay, we have some songs and we pray out loud, and that's really good. But there has to be something different in the way that we relate and do things together. There has to be something that when people see us, they say, whew, they're different. Whew, don't think different about them. And the truth of it is, church sometimes, and that can be a lonely place, can't it? It can be difficult. And sometimes, church family can be difficult. And the problem with that is that actually we base our church relationships on our relationships we've had with other experiences, work colleagues and that. And do you know what? People let us down. They disappoint us. We get hurt. We get aggravated. We get unhappy. People talk about us. There's gossip. And we feel wounded. And actually, that can happen in churches as well. And we hold on to that pain. And the good thing about being in a big city is, you know what? You can just take it with you and move on. And move on. And you've still got the pain and the hurt. And it's never dealt with. And actually, when people want to build family and community with you in church, you know what? You think, oh, been there before, arm's length, no way. I don't want to know. Because do you know what? You're going to let me down. You're going to disappoint me. You're going to hurt me. You're going to fail me. You're not going to be committed to me. But actually, it says in Colossians, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone else, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. You see, when I started on this subject, the title comes from a book that we're working through. Living in the City? Something like that. Living in the City. And it's called Moving. The title of the book was called Moving From... The title of this chapter was called Moving From Self to Others. And actually, I thought, do you know what? It's a real challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge in church. And actually, within this, we are called to be a family as the body of Christ. Linda reminded me as we were talking about it, do you know what? You don't choose your earthly family or human family. And boy, have we all got some weird people in our cupboard. Well, it's exactly the same with our spiritual family. but we need to love one another. Because actually, when we love one another, and when we make a real effort, in the context of knowing what Jesus has done for us, in the context of the love that God has for us, in the context of Jesus Christ coming as a servant, then actually, maybe we can twist it around a bit. We can say, do you know what? I don't need to do anything out of selfish ambition. Do you know what? I want to prefer my brother over myself. As I was thinking about this, I thought, you know, as Trinity Church, how do we practically take on board this? Do we, A, say, thanks very much, Pete, but you have no idea how busy I am. Yeah, you know the pressures I am, and you know what? I've got a little group of friends, and I know them, and I'm happy, and I'm full. I don't want anybody else. And you know, I know this is a lovely idea about building unity together, and out of that unitedness, you know, there's a sense of community as one body, but I haven't got time. But actually, I think we need to make time. I don't think there's a grey area about this. Because we want to be different, don't we? We want to be different. We need to make an effort to talk to one another, fellowship one another, invite somebody over for dinner, ask someone if they're okay, pray for somebody at the end of the service. You see, when I was doing this, I was thinking, do you know what? Ultimately, if we are different as Trinity Church in our relationships with one another, will that make a difference? Will it make a difference in the way that we live our lives? We need Jesus at the centre of our relationships. I want to desire unity. But we can only have unity together if Jesus and the Holy Spirit are there to enable us to bear with one another. It doesn't come easily. So this morning, I just ask, are we committed together to try and do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit? Are we prepared to consider others better than ourselves, looking not to our own interests, but to the interests of others? An early Christian writer, Tertullian, wrote once, he said, what marks us in the lives of our enemies is our loving kindness. Only look, they say, look how they love one another. You see, it's great that we're talking about how we can have fellowship and have unity and community internally, but we want to look outside as well, don't we? Let's be intentionally different. Let's love other people as Christ loves us. Let's be willing to serve others as Christ serves. How can we change London and Barnet and Harrow? You see, I think that if I feel that I'm really loved, my brothers and my sisters here, I think if we have real fellowship and real commitment, do you know what? That changes something about me. If we do that in the context of the security of our relationship with Jesus Christ, does that not reflect in the way that we go into our workplaces and the way that we want to make an effort with other people in the community? I think this morning, just the challenge for each of us is to put others before ourselves, as Jesus put others before himself. I think it's a challenge for us to be family, and what that actually means to us, to spend time together, to have fellowship. And that actually, that equips us, enables us to be more effective for Jesus Christ, more effective in the places that we live. You see, I want to walk down the street and say to people, hello, and they think, you're mad. I want to be like Duncan, who wants to organise a street party, and they must think, what's wrong with him? Is that in the 1960s? I want to have a Derbyshire-type community in the city, in the town that I live. I want to feel comfortable going up and saying to somebody, can I pray with you? I really want us to take on board these verses and a challenge to each one of us. What is it we need to change in ourselves? Do we need to just put others above ourselves? You know, at the end of the day, putting aside the commitments of work and the busyness of life. If Christ is at the very centre of all that we are and the most important thing, are we prepared to be committed to building community together? Because that's really what's important, isn't it? That we are a body of believers that are united together. And out of our unity, we'll build an amazing community that's not just for in here, but that goes out into the world that we live. And people say, do you know what? There's something different about them. There's something different about them. And you know, I think that affects everything that we do. And as I was thinking about this and my ramblings, you'll have to excuse me, is that actually, if we really believe that, then that makes a big difference to us in the way that we do life. So the next time we're looking for a house, do we think, if I move, what will be the impact of me moving on Trinity Church? What will be the impact of the things that I do on my brothers and my sisters? If I move, and will I lose that real close friendship with that brother and that sister? What would be the impact of leaving that life group? What would be the impact of all that we do? Naturally, I'll be very honest with you. There are times when you can sometimes look around and you can think, do you know what? Life's quite difficult. Life's quite hard. You can feel quite isolated at times, in places, but you say, where is it that God wants me to be now? Does God call us, each of us now, to be part of the community of Trinity Church? And I can say, yes, he does. And if he calls us to be part of the community of Trinity Church, how can each one of us serve one another? And you know what? Imagine if everyone's looking after everyone else's interests. You don't have to worry about your own, do you? Because someone else has got it covered. And out of that love, we'll be different people. We'll be different. And when people want us to do things and ask us to serve, do you know what? We'll just feel so excited because we'll be transformed. Because there's just that love. And do you know what? I said to my wife, I said, it sounds really good in theory. And do I think that the Spirit can convict us of it? And I think we can do it out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. But do you know what? And I remember sitting at a meeting and somebody talking about what we need to do. And somebody said, do you know what? There's a sense of intentionality. Actually, we need to do it. We need to say, you know, it's not easy, but I'm going to be committed to building unity with my brothers and my sisters and this area, and I want to see things transformed, and I want to see changed in the London Borough of Barnet and of Harrow. And you know what? It's going to cost me, but at the end of the day, you know what? I want to be living, and I want Paul to be writing that message to me. And I want to do it. Why? Because Christ did it first. And whatever I do cannot even go near to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for me upon that cross. Amen.